What has got into Jesus? That is the question it seems everybody is asking. His family thinks Jesus is crazy, that he's lost it. And they're not alone, because somebody has obviously gone over to his mother's house and said, "You'd better come and get him." And she's rounded up a couple of his younger brothers to help her in case she needs to remove him forcibly. Or as Mark puts it, they went out to restrain him. The scribes don't like what they see either, but their interpretation of Jesus' behavior is far more sinister. They believe that he's in league with the devil. The scribes are suggesting that he's using the power of the devil, Beelzebul, to cast out devils. Beelzebul is the name given to the prince of demons, and the name means Lord of the Flies. So now you know, if you didn't already, where William Golding got the name for his chilling novel. The upshot is that Jesus' friends are after him and Jesus' enemies are after him, both. Now, to be sure, his family is motivated, we presume, by benevolence and maybe just a smidge of self-concern. They don't want Jesus to embarrass himself or the family's reputation. Their idea is to remove him to a safe place and just talk him down. The scribes, on the other hand, are motivated by hostility. By now, in Mark's gospel, the conflict between Jesus and the scribes has escalated to the point that they are deliberately infiltrating every gathering at which he speaks in order to try and catch him in some blasphemy. Did you notice how Mark says in this passage that the scribes have come down from Jerusalem? Don't imagine they just happened to be in Capernaum that day. Jesus, of course, makes short work of their accusations, reminding them it would hardly be in Beelzebul's best interests to be destroying his own minions. It's a kingdom divided against itself. The only way that he, that is Jesus, can be plundering the property of the strong man, Beelzebul, is by disabling him, taking him out of the picture, or binding him, as Ian read. This controversy, with the scribes on the inside going toe-to-toe with Jesus and his family on the outside hurrying over to fetch him home, elicits from Jesus one of the most troubling sayings in all the Gospels. So in its entirety, "Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." Christians have long wrestled with the specter of an unpardonable sin. I mean, what might it be? And how could we know if we have committed it? Mark, I think, is quite clear what constitutes this sin against the Holy Ghost, and we have only to return to the context of the saying that gives rise to it to find this out. The scribes have actually seen Jesus casting out demons and healing people. We know this because we know that they are tailing him wherever he goes. And nevertheless, they persist in attributing these good works to the powers of darkness. They have seen what is godly and called it devilish. That is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So is the failure of Jesus' family, the people who knew him best, to see that his quirkiness was not, in fact, a dissociation from reality, but rather reality pumped up, edgy, outside the box. The sin against the Holy Spirit is to adjudge as evil that which is in fact good, to dismiss as crazy that which is in fact saner than sane. The sin against the Holy Spirit is to fail to recognize God in the time of his coming, or even worse, to mistake God for that which is evil, irrelevant, undesirable, or just plain crazy. So where does this leave us? The truth is that we are not much inclined to take counsel from people whose words or actions upset our apple cart. We tend to see such persons as disruptive or ill-informed, or for that matter, as kooks. There's just too much at stake for us to actually hear, take on board their critique. Now, one case on point might be the way in which the debate over environmental issues frequently plays out. Environmental activists are quickly labeled as tree huggers, and that is not meant as a compliment, or as just too naive to understand the complexity of world economy, or as just plain wrong. Or again, I can remember when I lived in small town Ontario, in the spring following the drunk driving death of some high school students on their grad night. And the kids at the local high school set up one of the first chapters of SAD, Students Against Drunk Driving. And they got all kinds of flack from people, mostly students, who accused them of being prudes and completely unrealistic about the impossibility of getting from point A to point B in rural Ontario without getting behind the wheel of a car. Nobody wanted to hear what the disturbers had to say. And the question is, are you sure? Are you sure that it is not God speaking to us through these discomforting witnesses, whoever they are, wherever they are? Sometimes it is the least credible, the least credentialed person among us who has the tightest grasp on the truth that we need to hear. Remember, it was a child who declared that the emperor had no clothes. Throughout history, there has always been room for the clown, the holy fool, the court jester, even the biblical prophet. These are all people who were dismissed as simpletons or madmen, and yet they saw what others did not see, and kings and queens ignored them at their peril. Let me say it again. The sin against the Holy Spirit is to adjudge as evil that which is in fact good, to dismiss as crazy that which is in fact saner than sane. The sin against the Holy Spirit is to fail to recognize God in the time of his coming, or even worse, to mistake God for that which is evil, irrelevant, undesirable, or just plain crazy. So to end where we began, what has got into Jesus? His friends thought he was crazy. His enemies thought he was evil. Either way, they were wrong, and they missed what God had to say to them. So this is the challenge, to recognize God both in the day of his coming and in the way of his coming, neither of which may be just what or how we imagined. Amen.